Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's great invitation. The great invitation goes out from the Father heart of God to every single human being, inviting us to be reconciled to Him, restored to His love, grace, favor, and blessing through the work of Jesus on the cross, and then to be filled with His Spirit and to go into the world of agents of truth and love and mercy. In today's great invitation, we're going to look at Christmas. What a wonderful time of the year. And yet for many, it's a lonely time of the year. And the true message of Christmas gets distracted by so much commercialism and so much worldliness and so much that really doesn't reflect the Spirit of Jesus. In spite of all that, it is a wonderful time of the year. It probably isn't the time of Jesus' actual birth. We know that he almost definitely wasn't born at this time of the year. At the winter time of the year, the shepherds would not be in the fields. However, it's the time that's set aside in our culture to remember God's greatest intervention in history. The greatest event in history is that God came down to rescue us human beings out of our sinful worldly ways and confusion, and to restore us to our true identity, which is to live as sons and daughters of God, to be reconciled to Him through His work on the cross, and then to be filled with His life. So Christmas is a great celebration of the most wonderful events of history, God's stepping into human history with a purpose to restore us to His favor, blessing, to cancel our sins, and to bring us back to our true destiny. That is why the shallow celebration of Christmas as simply a time of partying and secular revelry really misses the point, because we human beings have a destiny. This destiny was hidden from us when we became separated from God and we lost our sense of purpose and direction. You definitely could say that about today's society and culture. So many have lost their sense of direction and purpose, and they think the purpose of life is just simply to muddle through. God revealed His true plan for us in sending His Son and in the message that came to the world through Jesus. It is important and it is worthwhile that we should make a big deal of Christmas. God and sinners reconciled, man restored to his true identity, purpose, and destiny. At Christmas time this year, I urge all of us, all of you listening to my voice, to really enter into the meaning behind Christmas, to take time aside with your Creator and with your Savior, and to thank Him for what He's done, and then allow the Holy Spirit awaken you to the destiny that Jesus makes possible for you. Your destiny is not just to be an ordinary human being, it's to be restored to full fellowship with God your Father, and to live in dependence on Him, a life of thanksgiving and receiving and obedience to Him and His ways. In the celebration of Christmas in a mere ritual way, we can just go through the motions. But in celebrating the reality proclaimed in the Scriptures about the coming of Jesus, we can see in Jesus the One who brings us back to the union with God we were always destined to have, and that we would embrace this and we would really take Him as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our Redeemer, and as the One we want to follow. Not just the One whose existence we celebrate, but the One whom we have decided to follow. Let's look at some of the Christmas scriptures, beginning in the book of Luke. Holy Spirit, help us to recover the joy, the reality, the wonder, and the awe that God has stepped into history to rescue us from our foolish ways and restore us to His beautiful plans and purposes. Reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, filled with awe. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, cloths, and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The awe of this: Jesus was born near the shepherds' fields in Bethlehem. And as you may know, the flocks of sheep around this town of Bethlehem were the sheep that were used in the temple sacrifices. So Jesus was born among the sheep that were used for the temple sacrifice, because of course he is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. We read there that the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. So we see that they were told that in the city of David was to be born a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Three things about the ministry of Jesus that emerges in these gospel stories of his birth: that he's a Savior, and that he's the Messiah. Later in Matthew's gospel, we read that wise men, scholars, came from the east, and they came to inquire about this child who'd been recently born in Bethlehem. They knew from studying the prophecies of Daniel, specifically the prophecy about the 70 weeks, where it tells there specifically the dating of the arrival of the Messiah, that he was to come within 490 years of a decree to restore and build Jerusalem, and he was to finish his ministry by the end of that 490 year period. And therefore they knew that he was to begin his ministry roughly 30 years before that 490 year period. And from these studies they were able to figure out the time of the birth of the Messiah, and knowing how to read the stars, they knew how to read calendar timings and datings from the stars. They knew it was time for the Messiah to be born. And we read there, after Jesus was born, sometime later, in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, wise men, scholars from the east came to Jerusalem, and they saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They were aware that a great king from the lineage of David was to come and involve himself in world history, and he was to be Messiah, King of Israel. And not only that, they also probably knew from these prophecies that he was to be king over the whole world. That is awesome. In celebrating the coming of Jesus, we are receiving a Savior who forgives us our sins, who bears the guilt of our sins, and restores us into favor with God. So many people sing the Christmas carols and the jingle bell songs without doing spiritual transactional business with God, saying, "I want to discover and see the Savior for myself. I want to experience his blessings for myself. I want to be cleansed of my sins, restored to my true identity, and restored into full favor with God, created to know and love him as a father. I'm returning to him and to his ways. And the shepherds not only received the message that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, but they went to the trouble to turn aside and to investigate it for themselves. Similarly, sometime later, wise men from the Gentiles, from Persia, who had studied the prophecies of Daniel in all likelihood, knew the time of the arrival of the Messiah, when he was to be born, knew also from the astronomical seasons and timings, the dating of this, and they had come to seek out the Messiah. They came a long journey, but it was worth it. King Herod, meantime, was in Jerusalem, just 5 or 6 miles away from Bethlehem, and he asked the scholars, the Jewish scholars, where was the Messiah to be born, and they all knew the scripture from Micah, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be the ruler of Israel, the king of Israel. Now, Herod saw this as a threat to his own kingship, and therefore he called for a preemptive strike against all little babies under the age of 2, lest a king should emerge that would challenge his throne. The presence of Jesus as king and future king of the planet caused consternation to the world order. It's amazing how people fear to say the name of Jesus in public discourse. They'll say, they light a Christmas tree, they'll say blessings of the season, they'll say, they'll approach the pictures of Jesus as the baby, but they will not embrace Jesus as the king of the planet. The coming king who's coming to rule the whole earth will rule from Jerusalem. No wonder the world order shudders at the return of the Jewish people to their land. No wonder the devil is incensed at the presence of the Jewish people in the land of promise. Because their return to the land is the sign, the sure sign, that soon Messiah Jesus is coming to take the throne of David and to rule over every nation and there to replace every other rule and authority. No wonder the United Nations is anti-Semitic, but we are to be like the wise men, following the counsel of the prophets and not following the counsel of the nations. Will you be one who turns aside and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? We have seen that this one who was born in Bethlehem is the Messiah, who is the one who will rule over our lives. And we ask that he will rule over our lives today, and we will follow in his steps. The beginning of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew begins with the account of Jesus' birth. Matthew focuses on the wise men of the Gentiles, Luke on the shepherds of Israel. Luke focuses on Jesus' work as Savior, as the innocent Lamb who bears the sins of the world. In Luke, the angels also call Jesus the Messiah King. In Matthew, the emphasis is on Jesus as the Messiah King and ruler over all nations. When discussing the matters of earth-shaking events of the coming of the Lord Jesus into world history, it's so important we don't belittle it into mere tradition, but that we seriously engage with him, accepting him as Savior and accepting him as the ruler of our lives. That we as Christians develop a biblical worldview. There is coming destiny of the world, where the present world order, ruled over by democratic governments and dictatorship governments and Islamic governments and all kinds of imperfect governments, will be replaced by the reign and rule of Jesus. This is not just a spiritual faith. This is a faith that determines the destiny of the planet. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King establish his rule and reign. First in our lives, first in the hearts of millions of people throughout the world as the gospel goes forth, and then as manifest King of Israel and over the whole world. How exciting it is to be alive in the kingdom at such a time as this. So turn aside, sit with the Lord, make him king of your heart, and follow his ways. Then we'll be Christians, not just in a nominal way, but true followers of the Messiah King. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the support of listeners like you. contact us, go to our website and click on the contact button there. Or you can simply write to us, Paul and Nuala O'Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, Pirates Cove Resort.
Hello, my name is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Over the past few months, I've shared reading Psalm 91 against the fear that the pandemic had raised. I've shared my transformation of my life that Jesus continues to do through the Holy Spirit. I've shared that God has blessed me with a son who is 9 years old and allowed me to be a father sharing God's goodness into his life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' Jesus says, 'Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness.'" The national anthem will no longer be played before every NFL game, but the black national anthem will be. Jesus calls for unity. The NFL calls for diversity. The Pledge of Allegiance has been omitted from the beginning of the school day in most, if not all, public education locations. There is no longer one voice echoing in the school halls, one nation under God. A founding father of our Constitution, John Hancock, was the son and grandson of Christian ministers, all believing in our one true King, Jesus Christ. Bill Nye, a famed scientist through TV, actually said on Tucker Carlson, a Fox News show, that climate deniers suffer psychological delusions. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us, "God is upholding all things by the word of his power." From the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Psalm 78, 6, 7 says that the generation to come might know them, the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And in Psalm 9, verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." It's up to us to not let this nation forget God. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Lights, please. "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
The shepherds came to see the baby stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night.
This is an awesome miracle. curtain was open, while an audience of angels was holding its breath. A census, a manger, two travel-worn strangers, the stage was finally set. Angels folded their wings at the throne worshiping, as God whispered, "I love you, my son." Jesus took off his crown and laying it down said, "Father, thy will be done." The time had now come for God's only son to be born as a light in a lonely place. So he stepped from heaven's hall to Bethlehem.